Okay, recording started.
Thank you, Deepak. All right, I think we have a quorum. We can get started. There is a bunch of items we lined up today to be covered. So Vikram will talk about a Crino technical mini summit and agenda items. And we talked about those agenda items on the last Tuesday. There were a few adjustments has been done to the agenda, and he would cover those slides. And then there were questions around log file, you know, where that need to be stored. And Andrew requested this to be added into the TSE agenda. And we will talk about that. And then the security subcommittee wanted to have a presentation. I see Ken is here, and Ken will do a presentation today. Then we would also do a voting for the blueprint that Srini and the other team have submitted, which is called the Integrated Cloud Native NFT App. So we would have a voting on that. Then if the time permits, we would go for the subcommittee updates. Okay. So with that, let's go to the, you know, do you have the slides or you have to share the slides? I think we have the slides there. Okay, why don't we go ahead? Vikram, are you on the call?
Yeah, Kandan, I'm here.
All right, so why don't you actually walk through the deck to the TSE members?
Sure, I'll start, but I think if you have any questions, I have Michal with me and he'll be able to help you out with every organization thing we are dealing with. Can we get to the next slide? I'm not controlling this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
I should stop.
The next slides, please, yeah. One more slide. Yeah, thank you. Day one.
You gotta go to slide number. Can you put on a full screen, Deepak?
Yeah, this is good.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we start off with day one. We slotted this in ways that we start off early at 9. We discuss some of the main objectives we have for these 2 days. Kandan kickstarts it, and we take it to the basic use cases we want to address. Then we basically start off deep diving into the fixed access side with Project Eve. After that, we go over Telco Edge. And then we basically discuss towards the end of the day what APIs do make sense on the orchestration and client side. So this is focused, this day's theme is focused on the developer side APIs. And then if we go to the next slide, we focused on the infrastructure side, right? So there's, we kept the first slot open for the application onboarding just in case there's an overflow from the previous day. And the infrastructure and cluster management to recap the day before. And then we kickstart with Kandan presenting on the OpenRAN and the provider API side. We have Alex presenting the MEC side APIs. Then Intel, and then towards the final day, we actually cover a session with Packet, who have also expressed interest to participate in the Crino community, so they also want to contribute to this. So this day is primarily focused on infrastructure side, and I actually made a diagram, so I'll add to it, you know, on the Crino network edge stack, the focus areas for day one and day two, so it's clear like how we can move across the conversations. So if we go on day three, I think we kept room for recap, potential discussions, debates, and then we go over onto R2 planning. So Michal, you want to take over and go over some key objectives we have for this?
Before we go into that, do we have any more like breakdown onto the release two planning? It's kind of a very high level for what, 4 or 5 hours. Is there any content of exactly what we want to discuss in this?
We have a wiki page. We encourage everyone to make a proposal there. So far, I didn't check today, but last time I checked, there was still at a high level. Breaking down the focus areas. So we expect that we still have 2 days, right? People to update the wiki page.
Can you show the wiki page just briefly? Just so make sure I'm on the
Right. So let's bring the wiki page. I think, Deepak, I don't know, you have a link to that wiki page. If you go to the Crino wiki.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go to releases.
Or Tina can bring in, actually. Tina, why don't you bring in, actually? Deepak is new to that particular page.
Yeah, I'm on an iPhone.
Releases.
Oh, you're on iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Just to open the wiki page and share that screen only.
Do you have the link, Deepak? I have it if you don't.
Yeah, I'm sharing the screen.
Okay. It's coming up. Yeah, we can see it. Let's go to the bottom.
Scroll down. Yeah. Releases. Yeah. Release 2 planning. Yeah. Here you go.
Okay, so you just want us to put in suggestions into the wiki itself, yes?
Yes, that's okay. What we said from last meeting. Yeah, sorry, all of a sudden I woke up and I lost my voice. Sorry.
Okay.
So I think this this need to be further fleshed out. I think, you know, what we can do is like, because there's only 2 days, right? What I can do is like, along with the Tina, I think we can clean this up a little more. And what I would request is like, anybody like to see additional topic, go ahead and actually put that information before 4 p.m. Eastern time today. And Tina and I will work after that and clean it up and send the link to everyone today or tomorrow morning, so that everybody has a link of like what subtopics we want to cover. Okay. Is that sounds like a plan? Okay, I take that as an yes, because this looks like there's no concerns there. So Tina, I think we would work on that today evening, but if anybody has any input, actually, they can put it in there. Okay.
Yeah, remember Andrew and Strata and Sukhadev, you said you have some ideas, so please put your thought here.
Okay, so I would appreciate they putting their input here so that we can allot the slot, sub-slots accordingly. All right, any question before we move on to the next topic? Andrew, do you have additional question?
I guess we'll discuss it on the day, but I mean, I guess in terms of increasing standards, I think we were already defining that in terms of the criteria for mature and core graduation. So I was just wondering what 5 was.
I think somebody put that in there, but I think as you are pointing out, we can just allocate a small, bit of time in that slot where process subcommittee can sort of like share like what is already there, so that everybody is on common page. But we don't need to take much time there. People can read themselves, and you talk about what changes that newly we need to consider.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So more of a recap. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
The other way to approach is that there's another good, a very good way to approach this. Right. We can leave time for each subcommittee and the chair of the subcommittee to lead the discussion for that particular time slot, okay, the sub slot. In that slot, we can talk about like postmortem of, release 1, like what we have done, what we learned, and what we want to enhance in the release 2, and what recommendation that a particular subcommittee is giving, right? Even if there are no presentation, if the chair can actually talk through it, then it would be nice to, drive the discussion around that topic. So we can divide that when we start at 10:45 to 12 p.m., we can allocate about 30 minutes per subcommittee. But if we do need to take more time, we can definitely increase that. But at least we can allocate 30 minutes to get started on that. So I would request the chair to prepare at least a couple of slides. Or you can actually just create a page, a wiki page here itself, and put that information wherever it is relevant. And then, you know, we can use that for the to drive the discussion.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. I think that's a good approach. Okay. We will make those adjustments and we'll send it out.
Question about the first day agenda. Would there be a short slot for the our Etsimec API framework presentation also?
Yeah, Tapio, I think, you know, welcome all the presentation. So Vikram, you know, can you slot on day one or it has to go on day two? I would appreciate if we slot on day one because it's good to have that discussion brought into the, especially for the open discussions.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think we also have mech discussion on day two. Maybe we could do that together. Tapio?
Yeah, it's related to that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to do together? It's not really do together, actually. Alex can present his view, then Tapio can present his stuff as well. But the one thing is, like, Tapio, whatever he is discussing is going to be contributed into the community, right? Because we already have a project for that. Okay. So what I would request is that, you know, like, if a way to have that discussion happen on day one, at least, you know, it's very important to educate people what's already we have. So that people are all in clear page, you know, like when we go and talk about brainstorming session of open questions, right? So I would say, you know, like, let's see whether we can allot on the day one itself. If Tapio is okay with that, then we can do that.
Yeah, as long as it's not too late. Yeah, I think it would make sense because, I mean, it's something that we are about to open source and it's something that people can use.
Okay, all right. So let's. So why don't we actually... you know, right after, so you can figure out, like, again, he's asking the early slot, you know, like, we don't need a 9 to 9.30 in the startup mini summit, you know, stuff, or maybe we can fit some time there. So 30 minutes would be sufficient, or you need more time, Tapio?
No, it's, I think it's going to be less, it can be less than 30 minutes.
Okay, so what we can do is, like, we will do 9 to 9.10 for the introduction. We'll keep the introduction simple because anyhow, people know what we are talking about. Then we can get 30 minutes slotted there. So let's Tapio go first on the day one.
Yeah, it'll be nice, Tapio, if we can see the content of your slide so the conversation flows nicely. Is it related to fixed access or the telco edge? Where are you planning to contribute the project?
It's a implementation for the Etsy Mech API framework. So it's a tool that takes the Etsy API definitions and compiles them into executable code.
Yeah, so Kandan, seems like then we should give Tapio time on day two because I think Etsy Mech is actually there, right? So we will clear out the first slot. And we will make that room available for Tapio to talk about. Actually, we have a lot of time, right?
That's fine.
That should work out, yeah.
Okay, but does he requesting, you know, you have to put him on the early morning slot?
Yeah, we'll do that.
And folks, also, this is 9 a.m. PDT, not Eastern time or other time slot. This is happening in, usually we use Eastern time for all of our meetings, but here it is PDT. It's a 9 a.m. PDT.
Okay.
Right, I think, okay. Any other final thing, Vikram, before we move on to the next agenda item? Is anybody has any other question? And so, feel free to forward this, you know, if somebody else from your company or somebody else that, you know, any company or any developer, they want to join this discussion, you know, like you can publish this particular event, okay? And the only thing is that, you know, like we don't have a physical space and that already got filled in. And anybody want to join via Zoom, you know, they are welcome to join. And we don't have any limitation on how many people can join. So if you think, you know, like somebody has to join and they would be useful, or they want to learn, or they want to contribute something to the discussion, you know, like you feel free to forward that to the people. And I did actually mention this on the LF Edge TAC meeting yesterday, and there are a few people already expressed interest in joining.
So,
and you also requested a mobile injection, right? Did they coming and participating on the second day too, Vikram?
Who's that, Kandan?
Mobile Ajax.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be there. For the day one and day two, it's the Mobile Ajax.
Oh, sorry, not the mobile. Yeah, I mean the Ajax Foundry. I always getting confused between Mobile Ajax and Ajax Foundry. Ajax Foundry.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. I reached out to him. So he has something he wants to present. So I have a call with him. He's traveling today, tomorrow, to figure out what to present and slot him. Seems like
that would be nice to have them, you know, like on the day two, so that we can hear from them as well.
Sure.
And Sukhdev, you have a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, are we recording all of it for the people like me who are traveling who won't be able to attend, so that we can listen or watch? Is there a video recording?
Yeah, absolutely.
Video
recording, audio recording for sure, but a video recording, I'm not sure actually.
No, that's
the price of the ball may be pretty high.
Yep, we could do that, Kandan. We just want to make sure that the setup for video and the presentations is all set up. That's why we were requesting up front. So we can set up a camera and record too. So that, we can really do that.
Okay, if we can do that, that would be awesome. Okay, but audio for 100% we should have it.
Yeah.
Video, you know, like you see whether you can, slides, I think you get, usually when you share on the Zoom, it gets recorded. But the video itself, you know, like of who's presenting, that's something, you know, like you can figure out whether that's possibly, if it is possible, go ahead and do it. But it's not, at least audio should be there.
Yeah, we'll try. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Sure. Thank you, Sukhdev. All right, guys, let's go to the next agenda item. You want to quickly touch base on this, Vikram, or are we good on this? I think it should be good, actually. Let's move.
Yeah, it should be okay. And then we can discuss this on the day itself.
All right. So let's go to the next agenda item. Not these slides. Keep moving, Deepak.
Oh, okay.
Bring the slide that had agendas. I think we wanted Ken to talk next, right? So Ken, are you on the call? I see you are. I think you are muted. You wanted to present something.
Yeah. Hey, Ken. Yes, the Security Subcommittee would like to present this proposal.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, actually. You should be able to share.
Okay. Let me share. Can you see?
Yeah, we can see it. Go ahead. If you can put it in a full screen, that would be really great.
Yeah. So, just one second. Hi, everyone. This is Ken from Security Subcommittee. Today we want to present a few things for the TSC committee, mainly about the security tools, what we are going to do, enforce in the for the Aquino projects, and do the further security checks, and the passing criteria, and the planning how we are going to do it. So. After long discussion, the security committee comes up with a set of tools we recommend to use for our development. There are three types of tools we recommend here. One is for source code static analysis, one is for vulnerability analysis, and one for full stack scan. So the recommended tool for source code static analysis is SonarQube, and vulnerability analysis is JFrog X-ray, and the full stack scan is Linus. So the reason we recommend this one is this set is like they are the basic security requirements we can enforce, and those tools are pretty much mature. Some of them are open source, some of them are not, but they have the capability to be able to do all types of artifacts. For example, the JFrog X-ray, it can take care of a container, NPM, RPM, and other packaging, different packaging styles.
On the JFrog, this though isn't doesn't have a open source free version. This requires buying licenses, so I'm not sure how we can mandate that in this community.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would request, you know, like we find some open source version of the software for that vulnerability analysis. I agree with you, Andrew. And the other thing I do want to point out is that if we can't really find a good open source version, then we had to take it up to the Linux Foundation and the board and see, you know, like whether we can buy a community version for our scanning. And there may be some restrictions around how many licenses and all the stuff, but at least we can explore. So I think, Ken, from action item perspective, if you can see whether there is an open source version that could be replaced this one. If it is not, then let me know actually what version or what specific thing that we need to go hunt, and or even if you know the cost, you know, like I can take it up to the Linux Foundation and board to explore that.
Okay, yeah, of course. Even for things like a SonarQube, if the community version is free, but the with more functionality, they have different enterprise version, data center version, so they are not free really.
But then I think whatever would be included, whatever a required test would have to be included in the open source version.
The basic things will be included in the open source version.
But my point was the security pass criteria can only be based on tests which are in the open source version. You can't have mandatory tests which require us to buy a non-open source version to pass the tests.
Well, is there a need to run the to run an analysis of the same code multiple times? If all the code that is being scanned is open source, then any copy of JFrog that runs should produce the same response. Is it really necessary for everybody to buy their own license so that everybody can scan the code? As long as it's being scanned once, isn't that sufficient?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, the plan is those should be integrated into our CI/CD process. So I assume if our community lab has one copy of that, it should be enough instead of asking everyone to have a copy of that.
The point that we always made is that everyone should be able to independently verify all of this. This is why we were so adamant that every piece is of the blueprint, that the blueprint deploys, every testing tool is only open source. Hmm. At least it's part of the mandatory testing. Right. If it's like voluntary testing, that's a different story.
Right. But if somebody runs a scan and finds a vulnerability, they have two choices. They can either tell people about it or not. Right.
Well, I thought
not running the scan doesn't make the vulnerability go away. It just makes your detection of it go away.
But I thought the whole point of this, I mean, I guess we'll get into this, but the point of this, the checks, is that these will be mandatory checks. We can't not run these, and then they'll be reported back to a reporting page. There's not mandatory checks we can decide not to run.
The question I'm asking is there value in multiple people scanning the same code with the same scanner?
Absolutely. Because why would you, this is Tim Walker, why would you trust me to scan it? I might scan it, find a vulnerability, and exploit it.
Okay,
one of the fundamental reasons why we want to be open source, right?
Okay, let me just clarify something. AT&T has a license to JFrog X-ray, so we're going to use it. The choices are we could tell you when we find a vulnerability, or we could keep that a secret.
We'd love you to tell us, but the point here is that this has to, we have to have a consistent set of security tests to be able to graduate blueprints. So obviously we'd like you to tell us, but that can't be then used as a community gauge in order to provide security graduation at the graduation reviews.
So really taking a step back here, of course, you can do as much security analysis as you want. It's good to have the tools available, and even if people want to pay for it, that's all fine. The key point is, what happens when a security vulnerability is found? Because we are an integration project, it's nothing we can do against the security vulnerability other than fixing bugs upstream, right? Except for if we have...
It depends, actually. Unless
we have made a mistake in the integration or a configuration. So yes, of course, we can configure something or use some code in a way that's not secure. That's true. But the point is still valid that if we find a security vulnerability, it may be that it's not that's in a code component that we don't own, so we have to file the bug upstream and wait for that to get fixed. And B, it may be that's just the version that we are using. And again, Acrano, not being a product but a project, would not be the version that anybody would use in production. And so that means that...
Okay, so I disagree with your point, Frank. Also, as a TSE, Frank, hold on a minute, please. As a TSE, we agreed that, when we did awarding, people agreed that there would be a common validation testing on the project. What Ken is actually recommending here is, there is a set of tools that we can use to, ensure the security of the blueprint is actually, ensured by our community, right? Because even it is open source, even if we do integration, the whole purpose of doing an integration is that we have to make sure that that particular blueprint, really satisfied to some level of need, right? And if we find a bug, as you're pointing out, we can raise that up to the upstream community. The code belongs to an upstream community, for example, Kubernetes, right? But at least we know as a community that there is a bug exists in that particular version of it, and we can declare as a community that we found that bug, right? And also the thing is like, if we do, somebody has to find issues and that need to be fixed, right? If there are things which are not really identified, then nobody's going to fix it. The first step in actually fixing something is identifying there is a problem. And I think our community identifying that problem.
And if you listen to me, I didn't agree on that at all. I did not say we should not do any security scanning. And of course, we should identify as many bugs as possible and report them. I think the issue is not, shall we do validation? Shall we do security testing? Of course we should. The question is, what do we do with the results? And the point that we should discuss is, can we gate a blueprint on a criterion that's outside of our control?
So I think there's two things here, if I could just say something. I think maybe there's two issues here. There's one, what do we use and where do we validate? Where do we test? I think we have to have open source tools and they have to be available in the edge labs because there's no requirement to deploy in the community lab. Yeah. So I think that's one thing. And the second thing you're bringing up, Frank, is then what do we actually do with the results of those tests? Yeah. How are they assessed for pass graduation, yes or no? Or how do we then action them? I think these are two things which we have to definitely address, but maybe not mix the two up.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me, actually. As long as we agree we have to test it, I think we still need to discuss about what do we do with the bug that is getting identified, right? But again, it's for setting up a criteria on, what is going to be identified, I think we probably had to stick on a high level thing like, low, medium, high priority sort of a thing. Then we categorize and we put a, rules around like what need to be done. For example, at minimum, if it is an upstream project, we should have some way to raise that as a concern to the upstream community or as a ticket, whatever that mechanism they have, so that we can at least raise that as a point. That should be a one approach for a low risk related bug, right? So I think we can define a further criteria on that, actually. But that is a good point that you're bringing into the table.
For some of the projects, like feature projects, there are a lot of code we are writing, right? So we also need to scan them.
Okay. So what would be nice to scan, actually, I think there is a three action item I see, okay? Some could be addressed by the security subcommittee itself, and some could be jointly as a TSE, right? Or even the other subcommittees can help on that. So the number one is like, especially on the middle one, vulnerability analysis, we need to have a open source based tool. Okay, if it is not, then at least let's find out, you know, like what does it mean to buy a license, okay? Mm-hmm. The number two is that, you know, like where does this tool would run from, right? And where does that result would get produced and where it should be pushed in, right? So there should be some connection to the automation that the validation feature project team is working on.
Oh,
so that's number two that need to be defined.
Can have information on that? We have two more slides to discuss there.
Okay, please go ahead. Okay,
but why don't
you
finish
the thought process there then?
There's a high-level thing that we should agree on here, that we have to be able to do this scanning in the edge in the community member edge labs, because we may not do a deployment in the Linux Foundation labs. There's no requirement that one of the CD labs is Linux Foundation. So we have to, I think, a principle here, unless we're changing, you know, the whole basis of this, we have to be able to do anything, any of this security scanning has to be able to be done in the edge labs, the member edge labs. We can't rely on central scanning only in LF labs.
That sort of makes sense, but I also want to point out that if a blueprint is only in the community lab, they are testing in the community lab, we don't need to restrict them actually that they need to run it non-existent, you know, like a specific validation lab for them, right? It should be both.
Yes, exactly. So but that's what I'm saying. It can't be only the LF community labs. We have to be able to do this in the member edge labs as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that would almost, I think, invariably violate any approach of buying licenses, because you'll have no idea what I'm doing with that software in my edge lab. Yeah. But I think going down the license approach and supporting the member edge labs is going to be extremely complicated. So I think the primary approach should be to look for an open source tool that can do this.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, Ken, go ahead, please.
So based on the scanning result, we will divide the bugs found into four categories: critical, important, moderate, and low. So we put the requirement passing criteria based on the stage of the project, incubation, mature, or core. So we put in some numbers here. For example, for the mature one, all critical bugs has to be fixed, and all important bugs has to be fixed. For moderate bugs, we expect to fix at least like 25%. It's okay to more than 25%. So these are some of the numbers here.
On the severity, who's the judge or jury defining whether a vulnerability is critically important, moderate, or low?
Okay, good question. Some of the scanning tools, they will do the category for us. And for those
probably, so these categories are universally accepted the same in the entire world.
Probably not.
So you can't. So if one tool says, "Oh, it's critical," and the other one says, "No, it's only important,"
For the same one, hope we don't have a complete conclusion. The set of tools we recommend actually are doing different things. So for those that does not have a clear one, we probably have to do some work. So that's why we put the definition of critical, important, and all those categories here. I think we should be able to at least to figure out from the difference between critical and the moderate or low, right?
Well, I was just asking who that was practically, because it could be a lot of vulnerabilities that somebody's got to make that judgment call. How that will practically work? Who would be doing that?
So at least we know SonarQube So most of the source code scanning tool, they will give us this the classification, right? For those that does not give us, we probably not a good tool, or we probably need to do some of the manual work for ourselves. So this is the passing criteria, and some of you talk about what we are going to do. I hope.
Sorry, I have one other question. On the percentages above, is this your proposal for the TSC to vote on? That's what you're basically saying. This would be the
whole proposal is for TSC to vote or to get approval from TSC.
Okay, so that's yes. We're looking at those numbers as the security pass criteria for mature and core. I don't think you can have any pass criteria in incubation, because at incubation there can be no code. I mean, I think that they always all have to apply at mature and core, unless you're talking about incubation self-certified.
Do we have any projects for example, future projects? When you say no code, even for future projects, there's no code.
Well, there may be. So, to go to the incubation review, there doesn't have to even be a PTL or a code or anything at this point. It's a proposal to move from proposal to incubation, unless you're referring to the self-certification capability within incubation that 50% would.
Okay, that's a good point.
Maybe that would be more appropriate to say I'm assuming we're having self-certification in R2 as well, otherwise you can never get into a release, but then the 50% important would apply to incubation self-certification maybe.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's a possibility.
You know, my suggestion is to have pass criteria for two items. One is for that source code level checks, and second one is vulnerability analysis. And this passing criteria for the vulnerability analysis is, in my view, is pretty good. I think one should achieve this. But for source code analysis, I think this could be a complex subject, because I mean, again, based on my own app experience, even after three releases, people achieving 50% of this Sonar Cube stuff is challenging. So you may like to have two different criteria. That's my suggestion, Ken.
Okay. Do you mean for the moderate bugs?
No. One passing criteria for source code analysis, that is static analysis. And another passing criteria for vulnerability analysis.
Oh, you mean for different tests, we define different passing criteria?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here, what we think is for all scan result, we hope all the critical and the important bugs must be fixed. We can probably talk about the moderate ones for different types of scan. Yeah, that's all. Mm-hmm. That's fine with me. But do you have a number in your mind to suggest?
Yeah, so this particular slide which you are showing for known vulnerabilities, this is perfect. I don't have any additional input on this, but if it is source code static analysis tool, right, those are not publicly known vulnerabilities, right? Those are possible vulnerabilities that may be there. Mm-hmm. That part, I think achieving 50% in the first release itself is very complex. You know, critical, yeah, we should have zero items. For important, I would suggest 50% even for mature and core. And moderate, maybe 25% is what I think is practical.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ken, we are running out of time. You have 4 more minutes to finish your stuff. But what I would request is that this is, first of all, this is a good presentation. I think this is a good good discussion to get started on. And the regarding the voting, I like to have this further, you know, like we discuss this a little more again, and at least give people a week a time frame to think about this thing. We'll continue to have this discussion, and then we go for a voting. Right. Anything you hear from people today regarding the action items and stuff, if we can address that, that would be also great.
May I have last comment for this?
Go ahead, Tina.
So there are several proposals which we have discussed earlier in the security subcommittee, and now part of this presentation, I assume they need more discussion, so we present them to a TSC later. Number one, each blueprint must contain a security requirements session. There are several blueprints which are missing it. A blueprint may not be approved without it. Number two, wait a second.
Sorry, what does that mean?
So, that means in the documentation of each blueprint, it must contain a security requirements session.
Requirements.
Yeah, requirements. Yeah. Number two, the security requirements should be reviewed by the Equinox Security Work Group, I mean subcommittee, before blueprint will be approved. Number third, a threat model for a Equinox blueprint or device may need to be defined.
I'm sorry, I'm not following the difference between the requirements versus what was just presented. Surely the requirements are to achieve a certain level of passing of the different levels of vulnerability. Surely we shouldn't be individually defining our security requirements.
I think when I say requirements, I really mean the security consideration. If you see all the IETF RFCs, all the RFC has a security consideration section. Does it make sense?
Okay, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. So like last slide is like how we want to approach one.
I was just answering the incident questions. So the security requirements, as I said, should be satisfied the threat model. And the last point, the security best practice should be defined for a specific hardware platform, may have to be defined by the security subcommittee. So that's about my comments to the slides. Thanks.
I'm having a little trouble following what the ask is here as well. Are you asking each blueprint to write a document starting from a blank sheet of paper?
No, we already have a documentation of each blueprint. We only ask for a section.
Yes, obviously that's what I meant. I'm not talking, yes, we have documented for this section. You're saying that this section, each blueprint starts with a blank sheet of paper and writes something from their minds, or is there like, I think that the statement that was
I think you are
okay,
towards,
it's let, not me,
let me try to, let me
it's
try
like
to start, let me see whether I understand correctly.
It's like a mapping of what the security aspects for each blueprint to the security requirements defined by the security subcommittee.
So here is the thing, Tina. Okay. So what I would request is that there is still a discussion needed on this particular thing, right? This is a good introduction into the TSC. I really appreciate the work that done by the security subcommittee here. I think in order to TSC to vote, okay, if you do PTLs and projects to agree and do something, I want TSC to agree and vote on and say that, okay, this is what we agree as collectively, okay? In order to do that, what I'm requesting to Ken is that you would continue this discussion one more time, and then, you know, like what we can do is like we need to have a clear articulation of, you know, like what is something we are voting on, right? There were some open items we discussed about. and we spell out, okay, here are the four things or three things, you know, like what the number thing is. They say, okay, here is what we agree on, and we go for a voting. And once we have a voting, then we can request each project team to do something. Because, you know, I'm not comfortable to ask something to the project team now without having a full TSC agreement. What is that going to be?
Yeah, that's why the security subcommittee presented to the TSC. It's not asking for the voting today now. It's just because it has been discussed in the security subcommittee for quite some time. And they want to bring to the TSC for the wider attention. We're doing this work. We are seeking for the comments. And then we go back to the security subcommittee to keep discussion. When it's ready, we come back for voting.
So I think for the voting, I think we need to be very clear on what's being proposed. What you were just talking about kind of makes alarm bells, I think, with a number of people. So is that clearly defined what you're proposing, that last thing you talked about?
No, yeah. The thing I said in the beginning, it needs more discussion before bringing to the TSC the 4 points I mentioned. But the content in these slides has been quite fully baked, but we met a lot of questions today, of course. So we go back to the subcommittee to keep discussing and get back to a more mature and complete version and exactly specific what we ask for voting.
Okay. So what I recommend as a next step is, you know, when is the next security subcommittee meeting, Ken?
Next Wednesday.
Okay, so why don't you publish that schedule to the TSC team, and anybody like to join that particular call, and they can have a further discussion there. Then we would continue this discussion on next Tuesday. We can join back and we can use that Tuesday. Okay, Tuesday we probably have to cancel it because of the 3-day lockdown. Maybe next Thursday we can use the TSC time for, you know, a few more minutes and talk to it. Okay, but again, as I pointed out, like at least a couple of times we have discussed, and once we have a clear, like what is the motion and what is the voting is for, then we can go for the voting. Most probably, you know, following week. Okay?
Sounds good. We will, thanks Tina, we will put the Tina's opinion into consideration.
All right. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate for presenting today.
Okay, thank you. Let me
stop. This is very good. Very good, Ken.
Thank you.
All right, so Deepak, can you go to the attendance sheet and let's go for voting for that particular blueprint. So before we go for the voting, can you bring the slides to Deepak? There is a slide with the name of all the TSC members. Should be the second slide.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up. This one.
All right. Andrew, do you recommend, can you go to slide number 3, and I want to look at the name of the project so that I don't. So is process subcommittee team reviewed and recommend this project for TSC voting? The name of the project is Integrated Cloud Native NFP and AppStack Family.
Yes, we did, with the one observation that the VMware component would be open source before it's introduced into the blueprint, yes.
Okay, so open source to Acrino community, or it's going to be open source to some upstream, or Srini, can you talk about that?
So at this time, initially we wanted to do that network slicing and multi-tenancy in the blueprint itself, but VMware came back and said that they have that already, and they're going through the process, internal process, to open source that. They did not talk about whether it is going to be in Acrino open source or some other open source, but we did indicate to them that it has to be Apache 2 license. So, and that they said it is okay to. But either way, if VMware doesn't, the VMware internal process doesn't allow that, then we are going to continue with our original plan of developing that as part of the Acrino project.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why we approved that. Basically, if it was to be included, it would be open source. But if it wasn't included, there was an alternative which was already open source. So yes, the recommendation with that, those caveats, was agreed.
So when is the target date? when is the target date to open source that?
I mean, VMware stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, they said that it may take 2 months for them. But so that's why we thought that we'll do everything other than that piece. But that piece is only optional. And it's kind of a feature. So even without that feature, Blueprint can exist. So yeah, but in any case, so they are talking about 2 months from last, I guess.
So before our release too then. So that's
okay. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, so we want to call for a motion for this particular project, the Blueprint project to be approved. Anybody has any concern before we go into the voting? Or anybody has any question to Srini? All right, I do think we have a quorum. Let's go through the list and see that we have a quorum. So with that, I call for a motion to approve this integrated cloud native NFP family of a Blueprint project. So with that, anybody want to second that?
I will second that.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay, so let's go for a voting. Deepak, if you have a paper and pen, just note down like who are approving and who are not approving, and that need to be captured into the meeting notes. So with that, Tina, do you approve or disapprove this project?
Yes, approve. And I also use the Zoom tools to say yes.
All right, thank you. And AT&T, I approve. Dell, Tim, are you on the call? Is Tim on the call? It's like Tim is not there. So take Tim, no. Okay. Not no, actually. So he is not here, actually. Absent. Erickson, Arbion, or Andrew?
Arbion, are you on the line? If
he was, not, but it looks like he's gone.
If not, I approve.
All right, okay. Huawei, Wenjing? Okay, Wenjing is not on the call, like Intel.
Yes, we approve.
Okay, it's your stuff. InvinStack, Thor, are you on the call?
Yes.
Sorry, it's very hard to hear you actually. Do you approve?
Yeah, approve.
Okay, thank you. Juniper, okay.
Yes, approve.
Nokia, Tapio.
I approve.
All right. NTT, Takashi. Qualcomm, Shakid. Radis is Prakash. Red Hat, Frank.
Proof.
Thank you. Seagate, Tim?
Approve.
Thank you. Wind River, Darish?
Yes, approve.
Okay, so I think we have a majority of the voting approve, and we don't have any disapprove at this point. So with that, this particular project is approved. And congratulations, Srini, and that project team.
Thank you. Thank you all.
And, sure. And as the next step, what will happen is that Srini, Deepak will coordinate with you, and we need to conduct a PTL election. Okay. So there is a process that we follow within the community, and there will be a page where you have to self-nominate, like who are going to, you know, run for the PTL. They have to self-nominate within the project. If there are multiple people, then you will conduct election. If there are no multiple people, then somebody has to endorse them. At least two people have to endorse them. And once that endorsement is done, then we would elect that person as a PTL. Okay. So that should be, that process will be followed next week. And there is a timeline that we follow. And there is a window that we provide to conduct that election. Okay. And Deepak would follow up with you on that. Okay.
Yeah, so we are basically going with Kural, who is also joined us here, and he would be the PTL and is a CNCF expert. So anyway, we'll follow the process.
PTL, again, he can nominate himself as a PTL, but again, actually, that election process has to be completed to sure. make him as a PTL. Okay.
Sure, sure.
If the people elect him.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Yeah, any question? There's a one item. Sorry, somebody's saying something. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, just a comment that Srini is available for discussion about this project in the technical community call after this one. So if you want to have a discussion about this, that's your chance.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. All right. The other thing I want to talk is, like, we still have 3 minutes, but I'm not sure whether that 3 minute is going to be sufficient for that discussion. But Andrew, you wanted to talk about that log file collection. So why don't you bring that item, see whether we can finish it today?
Well, the only thing was, I was rather surprised that this came out of the request that we all put logs in the same place, but someone was suggesting that all of the logs that we've put for Network Cloud, Starling Eck, all of these things were in a non-standard place, which I was...
Do we know who that someone is?
Eric. I don't know any further. I think all I could see in the email was a name, I believe, called Eric.
Okay, so do you mind actually following up with them, actually? You know,
well, I don't know who it is. That's the problem. So the request came from one of the members loaded logs to a different place, and we requested they put in the same place, and they replied with this email from someone called Eric that said all our logs are in the place.
Okay, I can clarify. Eric Bo, you mean? Eric Bo is somebody behind the curtain for help desk at least the Equinox.
He's our point of contact for from LFIT.
So he's saying, okay, so in that case, he's saying that everybody else's blueprint logs are in the wrong place. So Network Cloud, the place you've been using, we're using, Starling X is using, we're all in the wrong place. So
exactly.
That's kind of surprising. IEC
is at the right place because it's connected to Jenkins servers directly.
Okay, all right. So I think this is something we have to clarify with Eric and see why he thinks it's the wrong place. Because, you know, DSC decides where the log need to be pushed in, not Eric. But if there is any technical reason why, you know, he thinks that way, I think let's understand that. And then we will bring that back in next probably Tuesday discussion. Maybe if he can join on Tuesday discussion, then we can have a live discussion with him and understand what it is. Okay. I will try to invite him into the next Tuesday discussion.
Absolutely. But whatever we decide, it should be in the same place. I agree. If we could speak that Tuesday with him, that would be good.
Okay. All right. So any last minute thing before we drop? All right. Thank you, everyone. And looking forward to see you guys on Monday and for our mini summit. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. See you next week.
Thank you. Bye.